If you would turn back to the Song of Solomon, and we'll continue looking at, well, one more thing today. And I never know what will be the next time. Now that the Lord has directed here, I sure trust He would allow us to finish it, because this is the beloved she is describing, and He must become that to you. Today we will look at verse number 12, where she talks about His eyes as the eyes of doves. Our beloved, when you look into His face, you see eyes of doves. What did she see that enabled her to compare His eyes to that of doves? Would you bow with me as we seek our Lord? Our Father, we always coming back to the beginning point of our need, our needs. But before we do that, let us attend unto the words of our Lord Jesus. When you pray, say, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. And Lord, we cannot of ourselves do that. It takes Thy Spirit. And we ask You for Him. We do not take for granted, do not assume that He is here or will be here. But we ask of Thee for Him. The only way the Lord Jesus can be lifted up in preaching or any other part of this service is that the Spirit of God be pleased to do so. I pray You would give us receptive hearts. My Father, speak and paint in our spiritual minds more of the Lord Jesus. Provide that which Your children here need, Lord, and give them that to draw them to Thee. Give them that that they can carry with them throughout the next week, and help us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Song chapter number 5 and verse number 12. I'll read the entire verse there. His eyes are as the eyes of doves. And that's all I want to deal with. But she goes on in her description, by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. They're there. Now I've mentioned to you in our beginning to look at this that it is your interest of heart of Him and towards Him that will determine how much and what the Lord communicates to you. If you don't have a heart, you're not going to get anything. If you take Him for granted, you're not going to get anything. But if you've got a heart for Him, then the Lord can take a stumbling preacher and through him have that for you. The more I've looked at this, the more I've become convinced that the daughters of Zion, or the daughters of Jerusalem, they were sincere, genuine. They were honest in their souls when they asked her, "Well, what makes your beloved so much more special than the one we love?" And if they had not had an interest, the Lord would not have set Christ forth as He has here. The Jews had no interest in Paul's message. So he said, "Okay, henceforth I'll go to the Gentiles. If you don't want to hear, I'm not going to labor the point. I'll go to those dogs, those outside the camp of Israel." Even our Lord came. John 1 came to his own received him not. Occasionally he would bring in a Gentile or two. Our Lord did tell the disciples this: when you go, if they receive you, they will receive me. And whosoever will not hear you, nor hear your words, whosoever will not receive you, nor hear your words. When you go out of the city, out of the town, or out of the village, shake off the dust that you collected there in their homes, synagogues, or wherever you preach. Just shake it off as a witness and testimony against them. Now, as we come today to consider His eyes, you know that the eyes of a human being, you know that they are the inlet to that soul. You've had folk tell you and describe you as a good friend and tell you, and you believed it for a while, but then you begin to see differently. Now here the bride can only describe or only tell what has been impressed upon her heart and her mind, those lasting impressions of His person and of His work. For her negligence and her indifference had caused Him to withdraw from her, as in chapter 5 here. He's gone. All she's got left is that is in her mind and upon her heart when they ask her about her beloved. Now the Spirit of God is compared to a dove. A dove is one of the most sensitive of all creatures. It'll leave, fly away with the least bit of noise. And it doesn't take very much noise in your heart or carelessness in your lives, and you find out one day the heavenly messenger has gone. That's why the apostle pleaded with us not to grieve or quench the Spirit of God. For it is He alone that can reveal the bridegroom to you and describe her and make you know what His description is. The Spirit of God taking that belongs to the Lord Jesus. Christ said, "He shall take of mine and show it unto you." And it was his absence that had brought back more vividly. I don't have him here in person, but it brought back more vividly to her his characteristics. He's not with her. All he can do, all she can do, is sit around and reflect upon who he is, what he's done, because I don't have him. She's lost him, but she's not lost the reality, though she's not aware of his presence. She has not lost his characteristics, his character, or his person. His eyes are as doves. And it was her carelessness to cause the dove, in our case, the bridegroom, in her case, to leave. But she recalls who he is. I am the Lord, I change not. And you sons of Jacob, you look around and see the reason that you're not consumed is simply due to the fact that I do not change. If you can get to that point, God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, and who He is, for they are all one, if you can get there, you got a firm footing to stand upon. Now another thing about doves, and I want to come back a little later on, Lord willing, to them being so sensitive and her describing him like that. His eyes are as eyes of doves. Now when a dove mates, it is for life. Other birds just go. In the springtime you'll have the male and the female working together. Other than that, I don't know. You don't see them together after the little ones are hatched and gone from the nest. But a dove stays with its mate. Now some get killed, and you've got that. When Isaiah said, I go as a mourning dove. She knows what I saw in his eyes is his faithfulness to me. It's very rare to see a dove. If you'll just look around, don't scare them off or it off, you'll see two. And she knew that. They always pair up, and it's a lifetime commitment. So she had seen, looking into his eyes, eternal love. Now get that, children, in spite of what the harlot church has done in ruining that character or that of God, as he is a loving God. She saw that. She knows that. Well, Solomon's writing that, but he's writing this as the bride looking on. And there was never a man from the cedar tree down to the hyssop tree. They would come from all over just to hear the wisdom of Solomon. So Solomon knew all about what he was talking about here, and he's talking about looking into the eyes of the beloved. There's an internal commitment on the part of the beloved to me. Now, although he has departed, and he departed due to my laziness, she still remembers looking into his eyes. And daughters of Jerusalem, his love is everlasting. You got your mate might be with you today and he might not be there tomorrow. But mine will always be. Though I stray. Now hold on before you begin to stop me from speaking here. Though I stray, and she had, and she had lost him by her indifference and carelessness, it will not affect his eternal love. His prophet may rebel, but eternal love will close him in into that belly of that great fish. And she knows there's no animals bound to each other as a dove is to its mate. Now, when one speaks of Christ as the eternal, and I've said that before you, as the faithful, as the everlasting beloved, I set him forth today as the one united to his bride. And he's told you this, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Religious people and hypocrites can abuse what I said. When she stayed on the bed when she should have got up and let him in, or when Jonah rebelled and should have went where he was told to go, it did not affect the love of God to them, towards them. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But religious people will use that and they will take it as I can live like I want to because it won't affect the love of God. Not unless you're a child. And I got a little side note to that. He just doesn't let his child behave and do like they want. Jude wrote about that in verse 4 of his little epistle, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, a license to sin. And Paul, when he was writing about the law, he was writing about God and it representing the character of God. He was quick to pick up before he ever got that out in his letter, knowing that there would be those out there that would abuse such love and the grace of God. And he said, now, when I told you this about the law, I want you to think about this. Shall we sin that grace may abound? No. God forbid. The wayward prophet in the belly of the fish could cry out, I am cast out of his sight. But he's speaking only as his sight, not being able to see the Lord. He knew God sees all things. And that darkness does not hide from God anything that we do. Psalm 11, the Lord is in His holy temple. And His eyes beholding. Eyelids trying the sons of men. Psalm 66, His eyes are upon the nations. And when the bride finally aroused herself to get out of that stupor that she was in and opened the door, I'm sure that her heart sank. I opened, but my beloved was not there. What have I done? Could have been the sound that was echoed in the chambers of her soul for a long time until she found him again. And she would ask, why was I so concerned about me? That I was just lazy and wouldn't get up. But then before she gets in hunting him, before she gets to the daughters of Jerusalem, she had composed herself enough to consider former days. And she thought back about looking into his eyes, and she saw an eternal faithfulness of her beloved. And though I have sinned much against him, and greatly against him, only thinking about me, he's still who he is before I sinned. Oh, love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee, and give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean depths its flow may richer, fuller be. Oh, love that would not let her go, aroused her, and now she tells the daughters of Jerusalem, he's got eyes of doves, he's always very faithful to me. Flip back a couple of chapters to chapter number 2 and verse number 14. Oh, my dove. Well, here he's calling her that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance, and let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Now she, in Song 5, she's not looking at her love, but she, because she knows her love's like a cork on a lake. And it being very windy out there, it just bobbles up and down. Today I might love him. Tomorrow the cork might be towards the other bank. Might be completely sunk. Something might have gotten it. But she's reflecting only on his love. He's already told her and already called her. His. Oh, you're like a dove to me. So he has in his courtship and espousal, he's seen in her heart a little of his heart. Oh, my dove in the cleft of the rock. She's not going to be reflecting on her love, because she didn't love him enough at that time to get up and open the door for him. But she's reflecting only on his. For his eyes, somewhere, or every time that they were together, had given away his heart. You and I, too often, we get self in sight. Our failures, our weaknesses, our sins, our departures. It just crowds out where we can't see anything else. And it's always good to reflect on that. But to remain there, you're just digging yourself a pit. You keep turning over leaf after leaf of back years and back days, and before long you don't even know where the top is or where you started digging. But reflect there at times. Don't be so positive and certain that you never have to make certain your calling and election. Or don't be this day so certain of His love that tomorrow you don't need it expressed to you again. But there are times when you need to get beyond who you are and how you've acted and look solely into His face. Psalm 32, I will guide thee with mine eye. That means I'm looking directly into the face of God if I see His eye. She saw who He was in time past, knowing what He had done, and now knowing who He was yesterday, she knows He'll be the same today. And He'll be the same tomorrow. And He, the great I Am, changes not. Nothing changes. Children, if you're a child of God, you've been on His heart from all eternity. He just caught you in time. Made you know you were a sinner. And then He wooed you. Never forced. I will draw you with cords of a man. Kind, gentle, loving. Never will force you. I'll draw you to me. And she knows, my beloved does not change. And now she's confident in her pursuit of Him. I'm looking for He who knocked at my door. I'm looking for Him who last week we walked together, we communed. I'm looking for the one that's got the eyes of a dove, mated forever. Laban had looked upon Jacob with a smiling face for a long time because he was profiting financially and obtaining resources because Jacob was in his household. But Laban was at best a man. One day Jacob went out. He saw Laban, and he looked into his eyes and his countenance, and he beheld the face of Laban, and behold, his countenance was not toward him as it was before. You'll never, never look into the face of the Lord Jesus and find Him different than He was yesterday. It's not so with our Lord. Now there will be times when everyone and every child of God, the old men and women who were so faithful that would put us to shame, Peter, there'll be times when we will deny Him. And it's not always in our words, but our actions. We walk in the counsel of the ungodly. We stand in the way of sinners. We seat ourselves with the scornful. We'll get caught laughing at their jokes. We'll get so caught up in their conversation that we engage reflecting back to them, and though it's not completely black, it's just a little gray area there. Now, I don't want you to walk out thinking that you can't ever lose the Lord permanently, because you can. There is a sin John talks about unto death. He said, I say, thou shalt not pray for him. So we deny, We're all, always where we ought to be. The language of the world has affected us so that it's all but crowded out a heart that one time you said you tasted the love of God and you looked into His face. But the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, loving, tender, heartbroken eyes. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. If one continues in sin and rebellion in his or her own way, one day you'll look into his face and you'll see that his eyes are not the eyes of doves, but you'll see that his eyes are as a flame of fire. He'll burn up everything in you. Occasionally we will see those flaming eyes like John and Daniel, but it's not to destroy us. It's just to burn away the filth and the dross, purify us. But you've got to see, God's not out to get you. God's not out to looking for every little thing you do to take the rod to you. But He's not going to put it down. You grow careless. John, Revelation, saw a lamb in the midst of the four living creatures. He had seven horns. Now, seven is the number of perfection. And horns represent power. He had seven horns and seven eyes. Eyes representing his omniscience. Nothing that you can do, though no one on earth will ever know about it. Nothing can be hid from omniscience. The word you speak in the closet. You know we're told to be careful about our language because a little bird of the air will carry it. I remember my grandmother Holloway. I'd say, where'd you hear that? How'd you know that? She talked about me. A little bird told me. And God told His children, don't you curse a deaf man. Or don't you put a stumbling block in front of a blind man. Now, I can curse a deaf man, and he would never be affected by it because he couldn't hear me. And I could put a stumbling block, a huge stumbling block, in front of a blind man, and he would never see who did it. But oh, God sees. Now the bride has been united to Him. A union, a vital union, as close as the branch is to the vine. And as she, with unveiled face, with open eyes, saw His glory shining through. And as she looked into His face, she's changed into the same image. Now look at chapter 4 and verse number 1. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. We just stopped there. We looked at his locks last week. Looking at his eyes this week. And he sees in her a reflection of who he is. For she is being changed day by day. And now united to Him for life, no more does she have a roaming eye. Her heart is set on Him eternally. And it's all because she saw in His eyes His heart. When I look into the face of Jesus, every longing will be satisfied, for His love surpasses human knowledge, and eternal joys will Him abide. When I look into the face of Jesus and behold the beauty of my King, then transformed into His blessed likeness, to His glory will I ever sing. No, that's not mine. That's a dear old lady in the 1800s. Now, children, what I'm talking about here, what she's talking about, is all in the spiritual realm. What good would it do me knowing he was 5'10", brown hair, tan complexion, physical frame, worn when he came on the scene? What good would that do me? Not one thing. That's why there's nothing in God's holy book that ever describes who He was as a human being, as a man. But when you find the descriptions of Him, it is as a man. How do you think Fanny Crosby compiled all those hymns? I mean, she couldn't see, but she could see Him. And you can't see Him, excuse me, with the natural eye. But you can with the spiritual. And what good's her benefit here, even here, if I don't get to the place where I see, and get to the place that when I look into His eyes, I see His heart? What good is John 3:16 that everybody's so captivated by in that large number John's telling you about that claim to be believers? Nothing. What's here? Then let me draw nigh Him in His book and see if I can see His face. And see if I can, in looking into His face, see His eyes. See those qualities she saw in Him, His faithfulness, His unchanging attributes. He is the eternal God that never changes. And though I dare not live in sin when I stumble and fall, I can go back to one that is eternal love. One whose compassions and tender mercies are about us every day. I can get back to one that loves beyond anything I know. And I can see Him. And I can see His eyes. Would you turn with me one last place? Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16, verse number 15. In the light of the king's countenance is life. That's us looking into His face For that's the only place that a person's countenance is revealed. And his favor is as a cloud of the latter rain. You ever get under those rain clouds in his word? Do you know what the same penman here as in the song? Do you know what he's talking about when he says, when I can look into the king's face, I see life? He's not talking about God living. That's communicating to me the life of God as I look into his face. Natural king, you might see anger. Sometimes you might see Christ disappointed in you. You might see a Christ who doesn't look today towards you like he did yesterday when you saw love. Oh, therefore it's time to stop. Run back and see, what sin do I know about that I've been covering up that I can manifest to him? Now back to the dove, it's one of the meekest of all the birds. I've never seen a dove fighting with another dove or another bird. And they'll always give place to whatever invades their space. Well, children, listen to the heavenly dove. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. That's the meek Lamb of God. I pointed out to you before in Isaiah as God is describing him as that sheep. He uses the masculine he. When it gets down to that verse talking about him yielding his neck to the block where they would slaughter. It changes, that pronoun changes to a feminine she. Lay down her head. Because now and again in a male sheep, there would be a little rebellion. But not in the Lamb of God. He willingly, lovingly, well, all because of love, he bore your sins without ever raising an objection. That's not fair. Life's not treating me right. Now you look into the face of the Lamb of God, weary, worn, blood streaming down his face, fresh and anew, bearing the weight of the cross, and tell me you can identify with the suffering Lamb of God. For you've become acquainted with him. And will not that love, those eyes, will that not melt your eyes to tears? And all of you, every one of us, walk out of here today with a determination for a greater devotion and love to him. No matter what comes, he's first. No matter who, he's first. Always. Walk out of here with such a devoted heart because you've looked into his eyes, hopefully this morning, and away with your form and away with all your religious duties, be done with it. renew your vows afresh and anew, sitting there on that pew, to the one whose love never changes. Never changes. The love of God was not affected by the sin of David. Don't anybody run out of here and dare say the preacher gave me license to sin. No, David paid. Peter paid. But seeing his eyes, such towards you, and you renew your vows afresh to him this morning. Wherever thou leadest, Lamb of God, I'll go. I'll follow thee. Now in closing, I just want to get back just a minute or two, a few minutes. I told you I wanted to get back to the sensitivity of a dove. Now that's that eye looking at you. I don't care what you face. It doesn't matter what trial, what cross you have to pick up, whatever affects you has already affected him. And you heading into or under a dark cloud or into trials or carrying a heavy burden, the most sensitive being in all the universe is that heavenly dove, that Lamb of God. No temptation has ever taken you but such as is common to the Son of Man, who will make a way, enable you to bear it, then make a way for you to lay it down when it's worked its purpose in your life. Now what hope she can have in finding him? You say, but I've sinned. She knows she was negligent. She knows she was pampering her own old flesh, looking after number one, lying on the bed when he tenderly called, "Open to me, my beloved, my spouse." What hope can she have? Hope in his character. Hope in the fact that in her heart she has a desire to seek him, and knowing that that desire could only be because of his work within, God working in you both to will and do of his good pleasure, Philippians 2:13. Peter can jump into the water and be the first that gets to the shore to meet a resurrected Christ, knowing what he did about lying, denying. When he looked into his face that evening, that night he saw, and then he got word from the ladies, "Go tell my disciples." He got word, the only disciple singled out by name there was Peter. Can you imagine, as tough as he's been on himself, knowing that I didn't do anything, that Judas didn't do, but oh, when the word of God came to him, "Go tell Peter and my disciples that I ascend to my God and your God." Now he jumps out of that boat, dives out and swims to shore. To see the one he had denied, cursed, because he knew who he was. And if he's ever manifest his love to you, he will again. And Peter knew that godly sorrow worketh repentance. And I'll leave this verse with you in closing. And I can't remember the prophet's name. It's in 2 Chronicles 12. At the beginning of the chapter, very close. He went out and he said, "Hear me, Asa, and Judah, and Benjamin. The Lord's with you as long as you're with the Lord. And if you seek him, he will be found of you." That's the last verse. But I'll leave this with you. How long has it been since you honestly sought him? How long, children? Don't walk out today with an indifference and carelessness in hearing. Don't sin against such love. Don't. We will. We have. But not again. Don't keep same old sin over and over and over. And sometimes I feel a guilt in saying, "Lord, I was just here last night about this, and I'm back again tonight. But you know, I'm going to keep on because it was no outward deed. It's just maybe a moment goes by without thinking. A little time could have been used wiser. But I'm back again, Lord. Because I know that thou art faithful. I won't do it again, but I know I will. But have mercy. And let me again look into those eyes. Sensitive, meek, bonding love. The eyes of a dove.